You are listening to the eReal Estate Coach Podcast, featuring RealTrends top 500 broker, Jim Remley. On this show, we interview interesting people in the real estate industry to help agents, broker owners, and team leaders accelerate their performance.
Okay, we are live and in person with Mr. Eduardo Reyes. And I was told about Eduardo because I coach his office leaders. So Mark, Rhonda, and Craig, who are incredible up in the Portland, Oregon market. And they just told me that they have got this incredible superstar. He's rising fast. He's just crushing it in the market. And I said, I really want to get him on the podcast and have him share his thoughts on what he's done. So welcome, Eduardo.
Thank you. I appreciate the introduction. They're so nice. They're too nice. I'm just a regular agent, but thank you.
Well, they think highly of you. So you've only been in the business for 3 years, but incredible success. And kind of share with the listeners and the viewers, what is that trajectory been for you? First year was 35 transactions?
Yeah, 33. Close.
33. Okay.
Yeah, 33. I've had a heck of a run so far. Super stressful, but I enjoy what I do. So I feel like it's been really fun. I was doing acting and modeling before I got into this business. And obviously it's super competitive. I was down in LA and I was booking stuff, but not as consistent as I wanted. So I was like, you know what, everybody's always talked to me about real estate. Let me give it a try. I want to sell one house a month and that should feel the acting dream. So I moved back to Oregon and I did that. And it turns out that I sold 33 my first year, 72 my second year. And then last year I closed at 87. So it's been insane and it's really fun. I feel like the most rewarding part of it is seeing people's, you know, lives change. I used to sell shoes before at a store, and it's a completely different ball game giving somebody a pair of shoes versus getting somebody their dream home. So
interesting. Yeah. Love it.
It's been fun.
What was the motivation? Was it like, I'm just going to get this as like a side hustle to still pursue acting, and now this is like taking over? Is that kind of how it started?
Yeah. You know, everybody always talks about the money aspect, and obviously the money is great. Like, I can't, who doesn't, you know, like that, but I would get the same rush feeling of booking an audition. Mm-hmm. And it would be the same feeling when I would get a new listing. So I just kind of got addicted in a way. So I was like, okay, I need to get another listing and another sale and another this. Like, I wasn't even paying attention about the money aspect. I knew that, you know, when you follow what you like and when you follow your passion, the money comes anyways. But it's just, you know, a thrill ride every time that I would get in another one and another one. And then when I would get my, you know, people's reactions of, I just bought a house, like, it was addicting to see the clients. So I just kept wanting more and more and more.
I love it. Yeah. So let's talk about that for agents that maybe kind of where you're at, either starting in the business new or, you know, maybe they're in their second or third year. They haven't quite hit their stride yet. How did you rise so fast? I mean, what was your secret to success?
I'm still trying to figure that out myself, honestly. I feel I'm very lucky, very blessed, but I definitely think that people can tell between somebody who's genuine and somebody who's not genuine. And my number one goal with all my clients is just to do a good job, do the best job that I can, but also tell them the difference between a good buy and a bad buy. Because, I mean, not to throw anybody under the bus, but I've heard stories from clients who have purchased houses before and they felt as though the agent was just trying to get the sale, which we obviously, that's a given. We want the sale. Who doesn't? But it's like, it doesn't cost you any more effort to be genuine and to tell clients, hey, you know, like, this is not the best house. That's what I always tell my clients. I'm like, not my favorite. It's your money though. You make the decision. I just don't want you to buy it. And then when you resell, in case you don't use me again, for your agent to be like, your realtor should have told you this and this, so it can't come back on me. I just want to lay it on the table now. So I feel like even if they don't buy that house, they'll eventually buy. And then the fact that I was honest just comes back, and, you know, they appreciate that I was honest, and then they send me a bunch of referrals. So I feel maybe that's why.
I was going to ask you, is a lot of your business referral business in your sphere of influence, or did you go out and prospect and lead generate, and where's it coming from?
So when I first started, I called for sale by owners a lot. And I just feel like, you know, I would always read scripts for auditions and stuff. So it just was I never followed a script or anything. I just started calling people and, you know, was a friend, had a conversation. So that like was my start. But now I've spent $2,000 in advertising in all 3 years. I don't advertise. I don't anything. I just use social media and they're all referrals.
Wow. Yeah. And that's great. That's a great question for people getting in. So I see your social media stuff all the time, and I you know, I follow a lot of people, but you're very present. I mean, definitely I'm seeing you a lot. So is that a lot of effort for you, or is it just kind of in the moment? Do you have a planned thought process behind that, or how do you work it?
Yeah, no, not really. I just post, like, I feel like I take a look at the people that I follow and why I follow them. Oh my God. And I follow them because they're constantly like interacting with their audience and like giving information, seeing what they're up to. So that's all I do. Like I go and post an event. My mom always, you know, yells at me. She's like, stop posting so much. But in this business, like you have to post what you're up to. And if you're not telling people you're selling, then they're not going to know. So it doesn't take much effort. I think for me, at least, I just post, you know, a picture of me showing a house or closing a house. And I feel like that keeps people, you know, like active, knowing that I'm still in it.
I love it. Yeah. And with that, are you, do you have in your mind when you wake up, hey, I need to post Instagram or Facebook 3 times a day, or is it just all organic? It's just as it comes.
No, I don't. Some people do it like that, but I'm organic. If you look at my timeline, like I'll probably go 2 weeks without posting. I'll go 1 day with posting twice a day. So it's all sporadic. I don't really plan that stuff out. It's just in the moment of what's going on. And I feel like that maybe people like that, because if it was like continuous posting every single day, I feel like they block me or something.
You burn out. Yeah. Your posts are very engaging because they're very authentic and real. I mean, they're just very down to earth, I would call them. So let me ask you this. So you're bilingual, right? So you speak Spanish as well as English. Do you find that does that help you a lot in attracting clients? Do you use that a lot? Do you do like bilingual marketing at all? I mean, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I try to post in Spanish, 90% in English, one post in Spanish, you know, but I feel like it helps a lot because my clientele is, I would say, half American, half Hispanic. So obviously I feel like that, you know, has made a huge, you know, tremendous factor in this. So speaking more than one language, you know, many people say otherwise, but I feel like it's an advantage for sure.
Well, a lot of my coaching students are bilingual, but I don't think that they necessarily lean in to their bilingualness. You know, it's like something they have, but they don't actually take advantage of it. So I think you taking advantage of it is smart. But before the podcast, we talked for just a second about you have operated within, and you sell everything everywhere, of course, but you do have a niche that you've been doing you've been crushing in the niche. I know some people are like, oh, why would you do that? But let's talk about your niche.
Yeah. So I fell into selling manufactured homes in a park. When I said I fell into, I feel like it was just, you know, fate that I was going to do that. My first ever listing was $1 million listing because it was my friend's parents. And then my first ever sale was a manufactured home. So I felt like that set up, you know, the range that I was going to do. I sell quite a lot of manufactured homes, and I always get, you know, made fun of or teased because of it. It's not a lot of money. I totally understand. They're, I would say, 3 times the work as a regular house, which is insane to think about. I'm like, I'm getting paid less and doing 3 times more of the work. But I just don't, I grew up in a manufactured home. I feel like I sound like a broken record because I always say this, but my dad bought us a manufactured home back in 2006, I believe, for $2,000. And I grew up in one of those for like 12 years. So when I would, you know, see other agents making fun of that, I'm like, but what's wrong with that? Like, why don't they deserve a house as well? Like, it's the same issue. So maybe it's just because I hit close to home that I was so open to it. Maybe if I was raised differently or, you know, in a mansion, I would have a different aspect because I wouldn't know what that feels like, but I did. So I just kept going with it. And I feel like that's where all the success came from. So now that I'm into it and I've seen, you know, the fruits of what it's provided, I don't think I would ever turn my back on that as of now.
Yeah. So it's really interesting too. I have one of my new agents, her first sale was a manufactured home. And, I said, well, you know what, everybody that has a house also has friends. And it's interesting that the next sale was from a referral to a $600,000 deal from that friend who she sold a manufactured home to. So you don't never know it's going to lead anyway. Turning up your nose at some business is ridiculous. So I think that's great. Plus, I mean, it's showing people that there is a path to home ownership, regardless of where you're at in life. Right. I grew up in both sides of my family never owned a house. I was the first person to own a house. So I'm kind of where you're at, where I was passionate for a long time about first time home buyers because they can break generations of you know, poverty by getting them into a house. So I think it's great. Let's talk about I know you've grown a team, and that's a fast rise to go from brand new agent to 3 years. You're growing a team. Let's talk a little bit about that. What was the thought process behind that? How's it worked out?
Yeah. So again, when I got into it, zero expectations, but I just feel like I've been evolving as time progresses. I don't ever, look at somebody else and I'm envious of what they have. I always just want to beat myself and what I did last year. So I was seeing other teams and I'm like, oh, that's awesome. They have somebody to help them, help people. I noticed that the year at the end of year one, there was people that were getting upset because I wasn't calling them back. But it's not that I wasn't doing my job, it's just that I couldn't do more of the job. So I just like felt bad and I apologized. And I was getting feedback and they're like, why don't you bring somebody on to help you? So I brought on my transaction coordinator first, which opened it up for, me to be able to be out there more. Then I brought on my buyer's agent. And then right now I'm at two buyer's agents, and then an assistant and my TC. It's helped a lot, to be able to help more people. But I'm still learning. I can't say that it's perfect. I'm still trying to figure out how to be a leader and how to, help them help me. But it's been fun.
So with your TC, this is an interesting question. A lot of people use a TC that's not necessarily their TC. Is your TC your TC? They don't do anybody else's business?
So she does our office's work, but she just uses, or I just use her for my stuff as well. And she might have another person. I'm working on, getting her to fire the other person. But as of now, yeah, it's just it's for the office and it's myself. And I think she has one other agent that she works with.
Okay, I love it, and that's great. I think what you speak to is a challenge for a lot of agents, which is at some point we all have a level of capacity, right? So some people might be $3 million, some people maybe 5 million, some people might be 10 million, but eventually you can't do any physically any more work if you're working 70 to 80 hours a week. So you finally got to delegate, and that's where you start to really grow. On your buyer's agents, I got a question. So you're not spending money on advertising, which I love for a team leader. Most of these team leaders are making the mistake of spending money with Zillow and Realtor.com and buying leads, huge mistake. But where do the leads come from that you're handing to your buyer's agents? Is it all flowing to you and then you're pushing it out? How's that work?
Yeah, so we keep them all in a spreadsheet, and every time that somebody calls about whatever they want, then I just, hand them off. I kid you not, I probably get 5 or 6 leads a day. We just continuously bring them in and we filter them out. We put them through an application process. If they don't qualify, then we put them in a separate list, as longer term clients because they need to work on credit or a down payment or whatnot. And then the ones we are converting, then we put them in a different list of pre-approved, and then that's just what we do. I'm trying to be just a listing agent, so I'm focusing on calling for sale by owners, reaching to my past clients to see if they want to upgrade. So that's what we've been working on this year, so that we can capitalize as much as we can.
So you're still working the FSBO market, which is interesting. Even though you got a big business, you still have another pipeline. You're going after other business. I love
Yeah, so I don't like to sit around when it's slow. Like right now, I just go back to the basics. I'm like, if I'm slow, I just have to keep doing, what I did when I first started. And then eventually, like the second year when it was so slow, I was like, oh, what am I doing wrong? Like, I'm not gonna do well. So I just went back to the basics, and I realized that you're not always gonna be up here. There's gonna be, like ups and downs. So you just gotta enjoy the downtime because it is a super demanding job of your time. And then also just be doing what you do during those downtimes, and then eventually they're going to buy. So now I'm relaxed. Whenever it's not busy, I just hang out with my cat or do the basics of calling for sale by owners and just saying, hey, let me help you if you need help, and then eventually they'll pan out.
Love it. So with your sphere of influence, because you got a big social media following. I'm curious how big that is, by the way. But aside from that, are you working a sphere of influence? Do you have a mailing program? Do you do email newsletters? How's that look?
So everybody in my office is confused as to how hectic my life is because nothing is organized. I don't do mailers. I don't do birthdays. Which it's not that I don't want to or spend money on it. I just never had. I wasn't prepared to be as busy as I was right off the bat, so I never put these items in place. And my principal brokers are always yelling at me for me to get them, a list of my past clients, which I still have not done because I don't have the time. But no, they just come back, and I feel like it's because I did such a good job the first time around that they love the service that they're coming right back, even if I wasn't sending the mailers every single week. And that's my goal. I wanna do such a good job for everybody that you know, if I sucked, I would understand them going elsewhere. But if I did a good job, that they'll come back and give me a second opportunity.
So it's really rating fan level service is what's driving your business.
Yeah, I learned that from Vans, actually. I'm stealing Van Doren, the owner's quote. He would always, like, that's what they would teach us in the training, that if you do a good job for somebody, they'll tell one or two people. Mm-hmm. But if you do a bad job, they'll tell 7, 8, which is so true. When you have a, you know, bad experience, you tell everybody. So I try to do as good of a job as possible so that even if they don't refer me, they'll come back. So, yeah.
It's really about the last impression. First impression is great, but the last impression is what they're going to remember and refer you by, which I think is so good. So with your, when you're listing properties, and I know it's a busy market and we're just super, super busy all the time. Are you working a set marketing plan on all your listings? Are you saying I'm going to come in and I'm going to do X, Y, Z, or is it different for every property?
Mm-hmm. It's a little different for every property, but I do give them the rundown of, you know, what I provide, what I do, what the strategy is. And you use a different strategy for manufactured homes and you do stick build houses. In this market right now for stick build houses, the strategy is to, you know, drop the price a little bit so it looks cheaper. So you can deal with multiple offers with manufactured homes. However, they're not like you're not having multiple 7, 8, 9, 10 offers on them. So I usually like to price them so that we land whatever that is. Dang, I'm giving all my secrets. Don't tell anybody.
That's good. That's what we want.
Right. Yeah. So essentially, yes.
Got it. Now, I mean, you're in a little bit of a unique position as somebody that's been a model yourself, an actor, where you're coming in from a perspective of being used to being on camera, we'll call it. Are you doing a lot of video with your business now because of your experience that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I throw in some video and I feel like that has helped a lot. When I got into real estate, my boss, I remember his first advice was, hey, don't get discouraged because it's a lot of no's.
Yeah.
I'm like, you have no idea. I'm like, I've probably done 2,000 auditions and gotten 5. I'm like, I'll show you rejection. So that helped. I already had the audience from acting as well. Because I've done 5 movies, I've been in theaters, I've done that. So I feel like people followed my journey and they were already captivated on that aspect. So when I switched from real estate, I'm like, it shouldn't be any different. Like, it's just a different career path. So I just, you know, I announced that I was now a realtor as well. And I feel like people that were already following me with the acting and modeling, they just started following me with the real estate. So I feel like that helped a ton. And obviously being on camera, I did it all the time. So it was natural.
I'm curious on scripting because you're used to memorizing scripts. And I know you said you started with For Sale Vendor scripts and now you kind of do your own thing with it. But let's get to a listing presentation. So when you're in a listing presentation setting, did you, as a new agent, did you memorize a script and did you use it? Or did you just come in there and, hey, I'm going to be me?
Yeah. So the first ever listing was that $1 million listing. And I went with my principal broker because he wanted to, you know, I was like, please help me. So he came with me. He asked me to dress up, which, you know, nothing against that. I don't like wearing suits. That's not who I am whatsoever. So I just fell and I would catch the list. Like I was saying, people pick up when somebody's not, you know, who they are. I felt, or maybe it was just me, but I felt like the client was picking up that I wasn't that suit and a tie person. So I was like, okay, this is the last time I'm ever going to dress like that. And I told my principal broker, sometimes I come in with, he's like, what are you wearing? So he doesn't like it, but I just think that being genuine and being who you are works. So in the beginning, yes, I tried to follow a script, but when I read it, I was like, this is like, who would talk back to me if I was, it sounds so robotic. So I got rid of it and I just started asking people like a genuine question as if they were my friends and then just, I would let the conversation flow and I would improvise based on what they would say, essentially.
And I think that's the master level presentation anyways, is somebody that's great at asking questions, 80% asking questions, you know, and then the rest of the time you're listening to the answer, right? So I think that's really a wise solution. Let me ask you. So you said when you have you get these 5 or 6 buyer leads that are coming to you a day. So they come in, I'm assuming they're calling into the team. You said you're immediately pre-qualifying. So you have a relationship with a lender and you're sending everybody to that lender immediately. How does that look?
Yeah, so I have a really good relationship with one of my lenders. One of my coworkers actually connected us, and he was brand new into the business. I was brand new, and we just clicked. And he's very hardworking, very fast, which is, you know, needed in this business. So I just was like, you know what? Let's just work together. I like you. You like me. Let's just do that. Because when I started, I would meet with a lot of lenders, but they were already established. So I'm like, it's going to be almost impossible for them to be sending me leads when they already have, you know, been established for a long time with their preferred realtors.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be sending them business. Yes. But I don't think I'm going to be seeing any back. So I just, you know, it just worked out with my, lender, Jace Cates with, Guild Mortgage. And that's just who I've been using, all along.
I love it. We have a Guild guy down in our market too. Guild, they do a great job.
Yeah, okay.
And with that, when you have somebody that you mentioned doesn't qualify, you put them in like a long-term incubation, like we're going to follow up in 6 months and try to get them on the path. That's how you do it?
Yeah. So I'm not going to lie. I'm not always 110% on top of it. But yes, I have some client that took 9 months for us to get his credit score up to what was needed. And we got him a manufactured home on its own land over in Jersey. Nice. For 180,000, which he will only qualify for 200. And my lender was like, there's no way. I'm like, there's no way, watch. And it took us almost a year to find him something after he qualified, but I stuck with him. And I tell the client, I'm like, if you guys are willing to put in the work, I'm willing to be here for you and help you. I'm like, but if we tell you to do something and you don't do it, I can't really force you. So I try my best to not, you know, if you don't qualify, to say, okay, like leave. And I feel like that's what a lot of, which makes sense. Like in order to keep a certain level of business, you have to do that at some point, but I feel bad. So I just keep them around, until they're ready. And then eventually it'll be a yes.
That's why you're getting raving fan level referrals. I mean, obviously you're sticking with people and they appreciate that. Whole different topic. And I think it's something that I want to speak to, because I think every agent should do exactly what you're doing, which is you've now become an investor in real estate. Because I don't know if you're buying long-term, but I did see you just did a flip, right?
I did. Yeah. Pretty scary, but yes.
Now what was the motivation and how did it work out?
It was always in the back of my mind. So I did grow up watching, you know, House Hunters and Property Brothers when I was younger on HGTV, which I know everybody has, but it was always like a thrill to see the houses before and after. It's just super motivating. So I went to go list this house, a manufactured house. And as soon as I got there, I was like, oh, it needs definitely some work. So I did the presentation. We actually listed it. And then 3 days out, like I had this gut feeling in my heart to like be like, you know, offer them and ask if you can buy it. And then I just followed it. I was scared because I've never done that before. So I went to my client and I'm like, hey, this is not selling. Like, would you... Like, I know this is weird and it's probably going to look like a scam because I'm a realtor not trying to buy it off of you. I'm like, but would you ever sell it to me? She's like, of course, I would rather, you know, have the house go to you than to somebody that I don't know. So I took it and I flipped it and I did it and it was super fun. Nice. So yeah, that was the first experience.
So are you also buying for long-term or was that just your kind of first flip and you're going to keep flipping? What's your plan?
Right. So that was my first one. I'm working on my second one. And I think I'm going to keep that one for long term, but I'm still debating. I think it's obviously it's smarter to keep it long term, but I also just want to like, you know, do it, get rid of it and then keep going.
Keep building.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm still undecided about that one, but it's been, you know, super cool, like a cool side thing to do on the side. So I think I'm going to keep going with that for now.
Well, you've given us a lot of great information, a lot of things for new agents to think about. Is there anything you'd give as like your best piece of advice to agents out there in the market that are just trying to rise to your level?
Yeah. I honestly, the most important thing that I would tell them is that there's no right or wrong. When I started, I felt like I was given, you know, a script. Like I said, I was told you can do this, you can not do that. But I was like, I don't, you know, the times are changing. People are changing. I sometimes would get appointments from texting for sell by owners. I would text them back and forth and would get an appointment. And then we would meet and it would be, you know, organic. So I feel like if somebody's struggling with doing something a certain way, to try a different way, there's really no wrong, right or wrong. And the worst that you can hear is a no, which we already hear a no. So just give it a try. I don't think there's a wrong way of getting business.
Let me ask you one last question. I could ask you questions all day, but I want to ask you one last question.
Go for it.
What's your schedule like? So a lot of people said 87 homes a year. What is the schedule like? Are you working 5 to 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night? What's your schedule like normally?
My first year, I was working 7 days a week from like 7 a.m. to like 11, 12 p.m. midnight. Now I try to have a more, you know, relaxed schedule. I get to the office at 9 and then I leave by 5. And then Sundays I take completely off.
Nice.
But I do tell clients 9 to 7, I am completely yours. Ask me anything, call me. But after that, I do need to take some, you know, and I feel like they understand. At first I was like, oh, they're going to think I'm conceited or whatever. Right. But they understand if you just present it that way. And I'm just like, hey, I just clock off at this time because I need some time for myself as well. Mm-hmm. And then Sundays I take completely off. But if you need something, like text me, I'll still see it. I probably won't respond, but I'll still see it.
I love it.
That's the schedule. It's more, you know, contained. And I would, you know, I would advise agents to also do that because sometimes they promote, oh, I'm a 24/7 realtor. And I was like, that was me when I was starting, but that's not, it's not healthy. It's a lot.
Yeah, totally. Great advice. I love it. Eduardo, thank you so much. If people want to reach out to you and they say, hey, I have a referral for Eduardo. This sounds like a great agent in the Portland area market, Portland, Oregon market. How could they get a hold of you?
So they can go on Instagram. My handle is Reyes, R-E-Y-E-S, real estate with 2 underscores. Or they can call me. Am I allowed to say my phone number?
Sure, of course. Yeah, you'd be prepared for it.
Okay, it's 971-282-1806. So either Instagram or phone number.
All of you, regardless of you, whether you're going to send a referral or not, should follow Eduardo on Instagram because he's got great content. You're going to learn a lot just by watching what he does. Eduardo, thank you so much, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Have a great day. Thank you for being on the show.
You too. Thank you so much.
If you liked this program, please subscribe and leave a review. And if you would like to explore our coaching platform, please check out www.erealestatecoach.com for 2 free weeks of coaching. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the eRealEstate Coach Podcast.